Hello, my name is David Ryder. I'm a senior at Eisenhower High School, and I will be doing our scripture lesson today. I am reading from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. All in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you who, when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man, rejoice in the day and leap for joy. For surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woes to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woes to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woes to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woes to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of God for the people of God. We all say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Please be seated. We give thanks to David Ryder and to our other young people who have been joining us in our service to read scripture. I'm sure that it adds to our appreciation of our young people in this church.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which I long have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering, nor going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, and my sin, which were many, are now washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart.
Dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, the one who is our rock, our salvation, and our redeemer. Amen. It's not just about the poor. Or, Jesus said, what? For years, as a child and as a younger person, I couldn't for the life of me find one person or anyone prepared to help me understand what was so blessed or happy about being poor and hungry. Like many of you, it was probably one of those scriptures you may have been asked to read or maybe even memorize as a child, but you really didn't understand it. Well, hopefully today I can help further confuse you or maybe clear up a few things. Maybe through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can all be enlightened and grow in our understanding over time. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, the one who is our rock, our salvation, our redeemer. Amen. After hearing these words today in this scripture, Jesus shares this message on the plane. How could people who heard him not think about how different and unique and perplexing his message was? Jesus was challenging the standard religious thought of equating perceived social standing with proportionate blessings. He turned that thought upside down. Let's try to deal with what might seem to be obvious. Jesus' message puzzled and upset the establishment because this was a message about good news to the poor, people who had been neglected, people who thought they had no standing at all with anyone. Everything Jesus did, every lesson he taught, and every person he healed, he was presenting to them an action that led to the understanding of this sermon on the plain. He healed those who people believed could not be healed. He attended to those who people had forgotten about. He was ministering to the lost, the least, the disenfranchised, the dispossessed. He talked to and sought those who were emotionally and physically sick. It was for all of those who had found themselves on the margin of society. It was those persons who found themselves at the bottom of the economic and the political and societal ladder. Jesus used these words, blessed, which translate as happy in Greek. So we'll use the word happy so that we can get a better understanding. Yet, he doesn't use happy in the same context as the world used happy. The world uses happy to affirm the human condition they find themselves in. Instead, Jesus used the word happy to say, happy are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Happy are you who hunger now, for yours will be satisfied. Happy are you who weep, for you will laugh. Happy are you who are people that are hated when they are excluded, insulted, and rejected in my name. Jesus asked these wretched souls to rejoice in those days and leap for joy because there was a reward in heaven. Say what? Joy in the midst of being poor? Exactly what was Jesus saying? What was he asking? As we pick this apart, it's clear to see that while Jesus preached the good news for the people in their circumstances, it was clear that most, if not all of us, who live on the margins, or those who live on the margins, I don't live on the margins anymore, thanks be to God. But for those who lived on the margins, he was letting them know that they weren't forgotten. They were poor. They were victims of hunger. There were persons who wept. There were persons who were hated, even for thinking that someone like Jesus would give them hope and a standing in society. Jesus could give them hope to cross that social and economic divide, give them hope to overcome that social order. These strange affirming blessings of their pitiful circumstance didn't make sense. And most of the people who heard this message, they didn't know how to make sense of it either. Truth be told, some of us sitting here right now aren't really sure what it means to be blessed when you're poor. We don't understand it, and some of us will just say, you know what, I think I got close to understanding, but I'm not sure. That's okay. You tell me, and we'll just move on, and we'll find another scripture to deal with. Well, that would be true, but I'm going to try to help enlighten all of us a little bit about not just the literal, but the all-encompassing message of what it means. Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. I guess in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, he talked about blessed are the poor in spirit. So you see, there's more than one kind of poor. There's the actual poor, the poverty of poorness. There's also the poor in the spirit. Through faith in Jesus, living in the spirit and the willingness to survive. Blessed are the poor. Happy are those who are living in that spirit and have the willingness to survive. Blessed are those who are hungry, for you will be filled. It's not just hunger for food, but hunger for acceptance of a shared humanity as equals. Blessed are you who blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, they revile you for and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Which just means even when they fail to recognize that we worship the same God, you're still blessed. But God also not only blessed those persons, not only said be happy in the midst of your turmoil, he was letting them know that while you are in these situations do not define who you are. Your circumstance does not define your situation, or your situation does not define your circumstance. You can be poor, but not poor in your spirit. You can be hungry, but not hungry in your desire for righteousness, for recognition, and for equality of your humanity. These people were at the bottom. They were separated from everyone. They were outcasts, and Jesus came to them to heal them, to teach them, to love on them. He created a personal relationship to let them know that they're not alone and that they're not set apart to be alone. But they are included in God's plan. How could it be? How can it be that all of these people are a part of God's plan? Sometimes when we hear these blessings go out, we wonder sometimes, why the poor? Because those are the ones who need faith the most. And here's the kicker nowadays, it's not just the poor who are without, it's those who have the poor spirit. Some of us who are sitting right here, we're poor. We've been beat up, we've been cast out. We've been cast out by our feelings, by our emotions, and yes, sometimes even by our families. And we believe it is totally helpless, that we have no one to turn to, that we're doing this all on our own. But Jesus said, that's not true. Even in your suffering, you are not alone. You are not forgotten. That's why you're blessed in your turmoil. You're blessed when you're poor. You're blessed when you're hungry. This hunger for righteousness, he said, you're blessed. I recognize your needs. I recognize and validate you as a person. Yes, you're poor, but you're not cast away. Sometimes, as Christians, we sometimes get lost. We sometimes forget ourselves about how important it is that we too need to share that love. We too need to recognize those who don't have what we have. But here's the problem. When we recognize them, we want to give them what we want them to have, rather than what they need. Let me say that one more time, let you think about it. We want to give them some of what we have rather than what they need. Sometimes what they need isn't what we have. Sometimes what they need is what we need to develop with them. The poor, those who are poor in spirit, who've been disenfranchised, and those who've been set aside, the hungry. Not just those who hunger for food, but those who hunger to be recognized, who hunger to be a part of something greater than themselves, which is the body of Christ. You know, Jesus was a wonderful teacher. Although he had all these reasons for the poor, and believing the poor suffered all these things, hunger and thirst, thirst for righteousness, hunger for acceptance and equality, as much as for food. Although all those things Jesus was talking to them about how all they need to do is know that trouble doesn't last always. Be happy in your circumstance because trouble doesn't last always. And you don't have to be poor to appreciate that. Many of us find ourselves in places where we think our troubles will last. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we think that all the things that we have will bring us comfort. But yet it seems the more we have, the less comfort we find. Isn't it strange that the happiest people on earth are usually the poorest? How can that be? The Reverend Dr. Vincent Peale told a story once. He said there was a ruler who just wasn't right. The malady of his life was dragging him down, and it was physically draining and emotionally draining, and it appears that one of his associates, one of his astrological consults told him, what you need is the shirt of a contented man. You need the shirt of a contented man, and that will help heal you. So he sent people out all over the kingdom to find the contented man. They went looking for this contented man, and they finally found him. And he came back, and he said, but there's one problem, King. I said, what's that? The contented man didn't have a shirt. You see, we place our contentment in temporal things, when in reality, the faith that we need and the faith that we need to share doesn't come from those things. Jesus wanted to let us know, not only am I rewarding the poor, not only am I telling the poor to hang on and don't give up. He also had an admonition for others. He said, woe to you who are rich. Now this woe just means beware. Woe just means beware. He said, beware to you who are rich, for you shall receive your consolation. In other words, you've got what you're going to say. Beware, you have selfishly enjoyed this wealth, and you will not have anything coming to you, no matter what befalls you in the future. He said, beware to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Not just hungry for food, but your lack of acceptance and recognition of your humanity will catch up with you. Woe or beware to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Which just means beware, for your troubles will never end, and the help that you think you need will never come. Woe to all who speak well of you. Beware of all who speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. He's telling them, beware of all who speak well of you, because their ancestors did the same thing to the false prophets, and they willingly betrayed them. Despite all these warnings and admonitions, sometimes we get lost in the process. We forget that Jesus comes to us to remind us of our moral responsibilities to the poor, to the disenfranchised, to the hungry, not just the physically poor, not just the physically hungry, but those who are poor in spirit, who've been beaten down, those who hunger for righteousness, for equality, and for fairness. Somehow or another, we've lost our way. We spend so much time worrying about ourselves till we forget about others. We forget that when we embrace people, fear goes away. But the more we distance people, the more fear raises its ugly head and divides us as people and as Christians. Oh yes, blessed are the poor. Oh yes, sometimes we are the poor. Sometimes we are the poor in spirit because we do not understand how to share the love of Christ. That gives us a poor spirit. Blessed are the hungry. Sometimes we are the hungry because we don't know how to share that blessing that includes and enriches others. Sometimes we sit down at our tables and we have full stomachs, but that doesn't mean that we are satisfied. Satisfaction is not found in what we consume and what we have. Our satisfaction most often is found in how we share our life in Christ with those who seem to be on the margins, for those that don't seem to look like us, for those that don't seem to act like us. See, the problem with living a life in Christ, you can't live it in fear. You can't separate yourself from what might happen. We're so afraid of what might happen until it paralyzes us and keeps us from doing what we need to do. Keeps us from being what we need to be. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Sometimes we get so satisfied with where we are until we never think about where we're going. The blessing about this gospel is that God not only spoke to us through Christ, he sent us a message about the importance of healing, about the importance of giving, and about the importance of being in relationship with each other. This, like all of Jesus' gospels, is about being in relationship with each other. The hardest thing for us to do. It is easy for us to give of our treasures, but it's not so easy for us to give of ourselves. That's the challenge for all of us. To bridge the separation between the haves and the have-nots, not just the have and the have-nots in a financial understanding, but the haves and the have-nots in a spiritual understanding. How do we share the love of Jesus Christ, the good news? Jesus healed, and we can heal also by our actions. Jesus gave, and we can give also by our actions. Sometimes we only want to give out of what we have rather than what other people need. Sometimes it's not what you have that people need. Sometimes it's the spirit that you have that gives people what they need. When you leave here today, I want you to know that the kingdom of heaven is ours. We have to have the spirit and willingness to not only help people survive, but to see our mission in the world. Let us not be those who have to beware because we spoke ill of people. Let us find a way to embrace people. Let us not have to beware of how we share our wealth, but find a way to meet others' needs. You know, and let me say this too, so you don't walk away thinking that we're picking on rich folk. It's not about being rich. It's about what you do with your riches. It is not about how much you give. We've talked about this even in offering. It's not about how much you give. It's the spirit in which you give it. It's about need. It's about desire. And it's about trust. Trust in the Lord. So as we leave here today and we talk about the poor, I want you to know it's not just about the poor. It's about the poorness in all of us. It's not just about the hunger, it's the hunger in all of us. It's about how we prepare ourselves to receive others in the spirit and the love of Christ. So when you leave here today, I want you to find a way to embrace this understanding. Find a way to be more involved, not by what you give, but by your relationship with others. I didn't say go out and start preaching scripture to folks. I didn't say you had to go out and hand out little tracts and ask people, have you been saved? I want you to go out and show the love of Christ. To embrace those who you know need the love of Christ. To stand up when you hear words of hurt and anger being lodge together with other people. I want you to be the body of Christ. To speak out when you hear injustice. That's how we do away with the poverty of the soul that Christ was giving and affirming in those who had no voice. Be the voice for those without a voice. Be the voice with those who have no voice. Stop trying to be in ministry for people and be in ministry with people. For there we find the love of Christ and that poverty and that hunger and that weeping will disappear. Now, don't go out and think that because you got a little money that you're supposed to give it all away. I want you to give everything you got. Just give it away. That's not what I'm saying. Because sometimes you can give it all away and you can become so self-righteous until nobody can stand you. I just want you to consider it's not just about what you have. It's about how you present it to others and how you share what you have with others. And it's not always about the Benjamins. It's about relationships. When we default on our relationship, when we let others speak ill of other people, when we buy into and listen to hate speech and we say nothing, Jesus is saying, woe be unto you because you are perpetuating that very same hatefulness, that very same bigotry, that very same marginalization. You are perpetuating it. When you remain silent, you become the obstacles to God's grace. From the standpoint of one person on the other side of the community, I will tell you, for many of us, people of color, we fear not the bigots and the racist. What we fear are the good people who sit by and say nothing. For they are the biggest danger to our faith. When you leave here, share your faith freely. Be uncompromising in your understanding of the love of Jesus Christ and how it empowers others and how it blesses us all as the body of Christ. Like I said at the beginning, it's not just about the poor. And Jesus said, what? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.